The protests at the Dakota Access Pipeline in 2016 and 17 made international news. We're still seeing impacts of those protest actions today. And this year, 2020, has seen a surge of civil action across the nation as Americans react to the killing of George Floyd while in police custody. And this weekend in South Dakota, more protests, this time in the Black Hills, where people gathered to protest the arrival of President Donald Trump and the treaty violations that eventually paved the way for the stone carvings on Mount Rushmore. SDPB's China Lockett was near Keystone for the protests, and she was at the courthouse yesterday to report on some of the fallout. China, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Lori, and I'm sorry if I sound a little funny. I just had some dental work done and my mouth is numb.
Well, this is a courageous effort from our SDPB reporter to show up even after being to the dentist. You're taking after Kevin Wooster because he would come and join us and say, I can make it through. So, China, tell us a little bit about who organized these protests near Keystone and how it sort of got its start and maybe ties back to some of the things Vicky was just saying.
Absolutely. It does tie back to some of the things that Vicky was saying. There's this new organization. It's a nonprofit that works to help different indigenous communities across the country with different initiatives that people are starting by helping them find funding and such, called Indian Collective in Rapid City. Now, the owner or the founder of Indian Collective is Nick Tilson, who is also one of the original founders of Thunder Valley, the housing program out in Pine Ridge. Well, Nick Tilson has been gathering a whole bunch of really wonderfully, like, accomplished organizers in the area to work at Indian Collective. And he and a bunch of these other activists who work at Indian Collective were protesters at the Dakota Access Pipeline. And they were also there this weekend. A couple other groups that helped lead it were some young teenagers from Pine Ridge, and one, Takata Iron Eyes. She kind of like started doing protests and activism up at the Dakota Access Pipeline and has now started doing more practical work here on the ground. And she led Freda Thunberg when she was in Rapid City. She also helped out yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, these are names that we're starting to hear more and more often. Tell me about blocking the road, because so many of us were watching, you know, tuned into social media for live coverage. Why is physically barricading the road part of what they're doing to protest?
Right. So they were making a statement that the land that Donald Trump is on is there and it's public land now because of broken treaties, right? And so they didn't want somebody whose politics they disagree with and who many of the organizers, all of the organizers, say is racist and is allowing Native people to, like, continue to disappear, right, after colonization. So these are some of the thoughts that you could hear when you were out there on the field. And so blocking a road was the physical way to get this, like, idea across, right, to physically stop people from going up to their protest or to going up to their rally by protesting. And what happened was a tire from one of the vans ended up blown out and three vans blocked the road. And then about 100-150 protesters hopped on the road and started to say that they don't want Trump on what is land stolen from Native people because of broken treaties.
Yeah. So there's also a pretty strong police presence there. There's some pro-Trump supporters who are protesting the protesters, or at least celebrating the president, we should say. Tell me a little bit about the police presence and how the arrests ended up unfolding.
Yeah, there were, it started out with just the sheriff's department, as far as you could see. A couple sheriffs were watching people while they were protesting on the side of the street. People were still arriving, asking them to stay behind the white line on the road. And then eventually the protesters had an action plan to go into the street. So they started to do this action, and then somebody like started to move the vans, and this small action, I do believe, may have been discussed with the police officers. They were told they had 8 minutes to block the road, turned into an actual like blockage of the road against law enforcement. And then like more sheriff's officers started to show up and started to form a line and kind of blockaded the protesters on either side of the vans, giving them about 100 yards. or sorry, about 100 feet distance in between
Mm-hmm.
themselves, the vans, and the protesters. And then the National Guard came up, which was very eerie to see, only because we knew that the president was going to be there that day as journalists. And you could see helicopters flying over, and I personally couldn't identify any. So at the point when the National Guard started to come in, it was like, okay, I know that this is practice and rehearse, but there were probably about 50 National Guards people. And then the Rapid City Police Department, who had interviewed with the Rapid City Journal the day before, saying that they wouldn't be up there because they were handling the 4th of July complaints in Rapid City, sent about 20 officers to help handle it. It got confusing when they started to take off their gas masks, put them back on, take them off and put them back on, because it looked like the orders are contradictory. But really, the only thing that ended up released were a couple canisters of pepper spray and some pepper balls. But there was no tear gas, and there were no rubber bullets released or anything like that.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned Nick Tilson with NDN Collective, and he was taken into custody. He was arrested among the protesters who were arrested, and there was a negotiation where people were allowed to leave if they wanted to, and some said, we will stay and we will face the consequences. This is part of the action that we're doing, and this is why we're doing it. Tell us a little bit about what you experienced at the courthouse for Nick Tilson's appearance.
Right. So out of the 21 people arrested, Nick Tilson is the only one who's facing felony charges. And he's also, I think that personally is my guess that he is receiving these charges because he kind of helped to lead the protest and took on a very active voice during it, right? So Nick Tilson ended up, he's facing two felony charges, I believe a total of 12 years in prison, and three different misdemeanor charges. And the other 20 protesters are all facing about one, either a misdemeanor one or misdemeanor two charge. Nick Tilson's the only one who had to stay in jail over the weekend, and that is because of the felony charges. But yesterday, a bunch of people came out to support him at Indian Collective and then walk over to the courthouse. It was a packed room, which in that small courtroom means 27 people, but it was full as Nick mm-hmm. Tilson had his very quick trial and was finally released on bail. But there will be trials in the coming weeks for Nick Tilson to see if he is going to end up with a felony or not.
STPB's China Lockett was near Keystone during the protests and the police action, and she joins us today fresh from the dentist chair, so that's why her voice sounds a little bit different than you're used to hearing. China, we appreciate your intrepid spirit and bringing us this story. We look forward to hearing the updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie.